Hello, brothers and sisters. I'm Sister Ann Shields, and welcome again to Food for the Journey. We're just a couple of days away from Ash Wednesday. It seems to come earlier this year, and earlier it is. But you can hear at the end of my program, I have been advertising a new CD that I did. It's about a 50-minute talk that I think can be very helpful to you during Lent to prioritize what's most important for me to be doing during this Lent. Because, brothers and sisters, we need our faith to be strong. We need to be true sons and daughters of God. We need to be real disciples of Jesus Christ. These are not just religious terms. They're realities that we're called to. And Lent is a marvelous time to take inventory. Where am I and how am I? So I put together a talk that's about an hour, a talk in which you can learn much about how to walk. I'm not saying it's the be-all and the end-all, but it can help you immensely, I think, to prioritize Lent, to make Lent meaningful. So I really urge you to order the CD. The information is at the end of the program, and it will continue to be in the next week or two. And to really look and listen to the CD, take notes. Take notes. Because I'll put in there the questions you should be asking yourself. And then as you walk through the scripture readings, as you take time to pray, the Lord will enlighten your mind and strengthen your will. He will enlighten your mind and strengthen your will to do good, and to avoid evil. He really will help you. I want this Lent for you to be better than any Lent you've ever experienced, if that's what God has for you. And so I want to play my part in helping you to have the tools to really pay attention so that you receive all the graces that God wants to give you during this season. Today we take a look at James chapter 1, verses 1 to 11. James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes in the dispersion, greetings. Consider it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you encounter various trials, for you know that the testing of your faith produces perseverance. And let perseverance be perfect. In other words, keep at it so that you may be perfect and complete, lacking in nothing. But if any of you lacks wisdom, he should ask God, who gives to all generously and ungrudgingly, and he will be given it. But he should ask in faith, not doubting, for the one who doubts is like a wave of the sea that is driven and tossed about by the wind. That person must not suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord, since he is a man of two minds, unstable in all his ways. You know, Lord, I want you, but I also want this. Well, this time, if I have to choose between the Lord, I've chosen the Lord a couple times. Now I'm going to choose the world. I'm making that rather bald, but I think you understand what I'm trying to say. It's so easy to try and live in two worlds, God's and my own selfish desires. And brothers and sisters, the greatest joy awaits you in God. It really does. When you begin to see the purpose for which you were created, and when you begin to see how much he loves you, but you've got to give him an opportunity. And Lent is one of those times where you can say, all right, for the next 6 weeks, you are absolutely first in my life. And then, of course, your other responsibilities. Put him first. Do what he asks of you. Listen to the readings. Apply them to your life. You don't have to apply absolutely everything. Decide on one or two things as you listen to the CD on Lent. Look at one or two things in your life that you say, this is really needs attention, and I need to face it. Take that one thing and walk through Lent asking the Lord to enlighten your mind, to strengthen your will, to change. And he will. And it brings you into a greater friendship with God, a deepening of your relationship that becomes very personal. Don't miss all that God has for you. He will never force himself on you. He offers. He invites. Please take advantage during this Lent. James continues, the brother in lowly circumstances should take pride in high standing, and the rich one in his lowliness, for he will pass away like the flower in the field. For the sun comes up with its scorching heat and dries up the grass, its flower droops, and the beauty of its appearance vanishes. So will the rich person fade away in the midst of his pursuits. Brothers and sisters, let's get God's priorities to become our priorities. Psalm 119, be kind to me, Lord, and I shall live. Psalm 119, I haven't mentioned the Psalms in a while, but Psalm 119, it might be the longest one in all of the Psalms. Psalm 119, I really encourage you to read it every day during Lent. Psalm 119, it's long and it's worth it. The other is Psalm 51, when you, especially you're dealing with your own sin and your own weakness, and you may be discouraged. Read Psalm 51, because here's where we give our sin over to God. It's a marvelous Psalm, 51 and Psalm 119. And the Gospel of Mark, chapter 8, verses 11 to 13. The Pharisees came forward and began to argue with Jesus, seeking from him a sign from heaven to test him. He sighed from the depth of his spirit, and he said, why does this generation seek a sign? Amen, I say to you, no sign will be given to this generation. You're not seeking after me. You're trying to destroy me. You're using all kinds of techniques, so to speak, to trip me up. You're falsely accusing me left and right. He sighed from the depth of his spirit. Did that ever happen to you? When there's absolutely nothing left, there's nothing else I can do, there's nothing else I can say, and this groan just rises up from you in the depth of your spirit. Cry out to God. Unsparingly, cry out to God. Help me. Touch me. Change me. Use me. That's what God wants to do. Magnificat magazine has a very good meditation here. There's quite a number of them. But this one for today is of Father Rudolf Schnackenberg, who was an internationally recognized biblical scholar. He died in 2002. And this is what he writes that refers to this passage in the Gospel of Mark. The Jews expect of a prophet that he bear witness to himself by a sign, a striking miracle. Indirectly, the Pharisees are acknowledging Jesus' special conduct, his teaching with full authority, his daring decisions in law, but also his mighty works in healing and casting out demons. There is something unusual, prophetic in his behavior, yet they are doubtful that Jesus' power comes from God. God himself ought to acknowledge him and attest him by a sign. This immediate attention of God is what is meant by a sign from heaven. If Jesus does not accomplish this, he is unmasked as a false prophet. In reality, it is merely their unbelief, that is, lack of faith, which is concealed behind this demand. It is precisely these deeds of healing which have already shown clearly that Jesus is the one sent by God, the bringer of salvation to the people. It is the blindness of unbelief that demands signs, signs that have already been given, that does not yet recognize God's action, which is hidden and yet cannot be ignored. Would these people believe if Jesus granted their desire for an extraordinary, spectacular miracle? Jesus never exposed himself to this deception and therefore always refused the demand for a miracle of attestation. Even the sign of Jonas does not have this meaning. Jesus means here probably his coming at the parousia, when God will reveal and justify him like the prophet rescued from death. Then, however, it will be too late for conversion and faith. The requested miracle of attestation to attest that, yes, another miracle to attest to the fact that he is the Son of God. And then when they got that miracle, then they wanted another and another and another, because they're not willing to put their faith in him. And so, brothers and sisters, the question comes to us. Are you willing to put your faith in God? Not because you see the miracles. The many miracles have already been reported. But I want to see one more. Just give me one more. And it'll never be enough. Because what you need now is faith. To say, Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. It's a fine prayer to pray. Lord, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Ask God to increase your faith. Ask God to strengthen you. He will. He loves it when we acknowledge our poverty. Why? Because he wants to see us humiliated? No. Because when we reveal our poverty, when we say we're poor and weak and sinful, God draws near, because it's the truth. And if we're willing to face the truth, then he has access to us. Otherwise, we're saying, I've made myself good for you, God. Now reward me. That's pride. That's arrogance. How many times do we fail to put our trust in him? How many times, especially when we've prayed for something that hasn't been answered? That's a test of faith. Why didn't God answer? And that question will be answered in eternity. He'll show you what would have happened if he had answered your prayer, because we're short-sighted. We don't see clearly. Brothers and sisters, the scriptures are full of miracles. And that Jesus lives today. And that Jesus hears every word of every prayer you pray. He sees all and he knows all about you. I want to encourage you today and during this upcoming season of Lent that will begin this Wednesday. I want to encourage you to open your heart to receive all the graces that he has for you. You will be abundantly, abundantly blessed. May God be praised. For the free copy of my booklet, Faith More Precious Than Gold, dial 1-800-282-4789. For the CD, 40 Days Journey, Encountering the Love of God, go to our website, renewalministries.net/FFJ. Cost of the CD, $10. God bless you.